This recording is a production of Faith Builders. This presentation was recorded at Reach 2013, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 14 and 15, 2013.
Meetings are like lawyers. Everybody likes to make fun of them. We hear things like, a meeting of three can accomplish much if two don't show up. See, you laugh at that. That's not funny. Or a meeting is an event at which the minutes are kept and the hours are lost. We're going to continue having meetings every day till I find out why no work is getting done. You had to identify in one word the reason why the human race has not achieved and never will achieve its full potential. That word would be meetings. Even Ronald Reagan got in on the fun. He said, I've left orders to be awakened at any time in case of national emergency, even if I'm in a cabinet meeting. And then this from Thomas Sowell. People who enjoy meetings should not be in charge of anything. I have a confession to make. I enjoy meetings. At least the kind where there's good interaction. The issues are clearly laid out, a consensus develops, and where you walk out energized. Now, not all meetings are going to be that way, but I think that we can increase the likelihood of that kind of meeting happening if we plan well, and that's what this session is about. I'd like to pay attention to each of the three words here. Planning efficient meetings. First of all, planning. What I'm going to be focusing on here is what we do before the meeting. I'm not going to be talking about running a meeting or even the follow-up work that needs to happen after a meeting. Both of those are worth attention. But I want us to think about what happens before the meeting. Now, I'm going to suggest that there should be about a one-to-one correspondence of time, on average, between the length of the meeting and the amount of time you spend preparing. Some meetings might require 5 hours to every hour of meeting. Some may be less, but we need to be prepared to make a significant investment of time and energy to make meetings worthwhile and efficient. The old saying, well begun is half done, is certainly true about meetings. Now, the second word here in our title, efficient. I struggle with that a little bit because I would prefer an effective meeting than an efficient meeting. But watch this. By effective, we mean a meeting that accomplishes what was intended. That's an effective meeting, and we're after that. But we're after a little bit more than just effective. We're looking for an effective meeting that has a minimum cost in time and employee or personnel morale. And so I'm using the word efficient to capture both effective as well as doing it in a way where you don't have such a large cost, where you don't have all of this negativity about the meetings and so on. So efficient meetings. And then the third word is meetings. Not everything that we discuss here is going to apply to every kind of meeting. And so if I could just talk about a couple different types of meetings that ministries ought to have. And So it might include socials, just times where we don't even hardly think of them as meetings, but times to get together and interact. There's check-in meetings, briefing meetings, the kind of meetings that you might just do on a daily basis. Just say, hi, anything we need to talk about here before we get to things. There are tactical meetings. These would be more of weekly, fairly regular, and where you're not planning big picture strategy, but these are the things that we need to talk about for the week. There's planning meetings where you are looking to bigger picture kinds of things. There's offsite meetings, meetings that you call to get away from the environment of the ministry, of the organization. There's something really powerful about going offsite, changing the environment. And particularly some of your strategizing, some of your big picture meetings can perhaps happen best off-site. There's crisis meetings where something comes up and you have something immediate that you must solve. And I've already mentioned big picture meetings that can happen in a variety of contexts. Now, an organization will probably have all of these kinds of meetings at different times and places. And it's if we're going to lead effectively, I think it involves thinking about the type of meeting that we need to have, what the goals are for that particular kind. Now, my thesis is that meeting leaders can have more effective meetings if they pay attention to three areas of planning. And I'm going to explore these three areas by asking three questions. And I call these the big three questions. The first one is, what is my overall plan? Now, what I'm going to do is use an actual meeting agenda to help talk about the different pieces that go into the overall plan. And I should say maybe right up front that this is not what I would go into a meeting with, but this would be the kind of work that I would do behind the scenes. One of the first things we have to pay attention to in our overall planning is the question of what, question of priorities. What items must be covered in this meeting? That also, well, maybe before I leave this, one of the things that I do use OneNote just to keep a running list of items that come up. So as I hear things from staff, from different people that say, we need to be talking about this, or here's a concern, just add that to the running list. And so when it's time for the meeting, I pull that list out and choose the items that we have to deal with that particular time. So in addition to exploring the priorities, what must be covered, in the what, we're also thinking about the sequence. In what order will we cover them? And this really deserves significant thought. What can wait? What is it that, if we don't get to it in this meeting, it's okay? And so those things maybe can go down toward the end of the agenda. The items that really are essential, we put toward the beginning. Patrick Lencioni, in his book on meetings, by the way, the title is another great, he says, it's called Death by Meeting. It's a resource that I include at the end. But he suggests that one of the reasons why our meetings don't go better is that we don't have enough drama in them. And he thinks you need to put the items toward the front where there's going to be some disagreement. There's going to be some conflict, and we can wrestle and work on some of these things. That's worth thinking about when thinking of the sequence of the agenda. Also, how much time? This is part of the what as well. How much time is needed in order to adequately deal with that item? So that's the what. When we're planning overall, we give attention to the what. Now, I'm going to take a little detour for a moment. Those of you who need to plan meetings for boards and so on, I've found, I missed one item here, and that is the fourth part of the what would be the lead. Who is it that is going to present that item? It may be that the meeting leader assigns several of the items to other people in the organization to be ready to talk about and lead that particular agenda item. Now, here's the detour. If you're planning board meetings, larger meetings, annual meetings, that kind of thing, one of the things that often you have a lot of tedious material, minutes that you have to get approved, you might have bank accounts that have to be approved. There's just a lot of stuff that you really don't want to spend too much of your meeting time going through. And so one way to deal with this what, this part of the what, is to use a consent agenda. You see an example here of where you just put in writing all of these items that you don't think deserve actual time in the meeting. You put that into writing. The members that will be gathering for that meeting can read it in advance. And when they come to the meeting, with one vote, you can deal with the entire list of items. This particular one that I'm showing here, I believe there was about 50 pages as part of that entire consent agenda. It included an annual audit and so on. And again, if you bring that into a meeting, it can really bog you down if that's what you have to do for the first 2 hours, is to go through this stuff. Consent agenda, you can quickly move on it. I should mention the way a consent agenda would work is that any member there would have the chance to remove an item from the consent agenda for additional discussion if there are concerns. Now, back to our overall plan. We've looked at the what of the meeting. What about the when? The date that it will happen, the time. And this also, you know, it's sometimes these are the kind of details that can just be overlooked, and people just, you assume that everybody knows these things. And then the where. This also deserves attention. So what is the place that the meeting will happen, and does the environment of that meeting place, does it fit what you're going to be working on? I already mentioned that sometimes it's appropriate to go off-site for a meeting. Changing the environment. Another item is the who. Who needs to be at this meeting? Who are the players? Who are the stakeholders that need to be present for the kinds of issues that are going to be discussed? And then, it's worth spending time thinking about, how is the meeting going to be open? How will we begin? It's not that you have to have an elaborate opening, but how are you going to open? And here may be a good place just to ask the question, how can we cultivate a spirit-sensitive focus in our meetings? What can I do in the opening to set a tone in which we can hear from the Lord? We also ask the question, how are we going to close this meeting? How are we going to wrap it up? Are we going to review assignments? Are we going to have a time of prayer? How are we going to wrap it up? So overall planning, that's the first question you need to answer. What's my overall plan for this meeting? Second big question would be, what needs to happen? In addition to that overall plan, what needs to happen before the meeting? And here, we're going to be preparing each of those agenda items that we'd identified in the overall plan. So we add on to our chart, and we have, first of all, an objective. And we're going to clarify the objective for each item. What needs to happen when we discuss item one? When we're done with the meeting, what do we hope to have accomplished? What decisions need to have been made, and so on. I'd like to just give a couple ideas, some sample objectives. It may be your objective is just to give a report. It may be to hear some reports, receive buy-in from the attendees, to solve a problem, to cast vision, generate ideas, make a decision, and so on. But it's vital that the person who's responsible for each item knows what they want to accomplish. And if we know that, if there's clarity about that, at the end of the meeting, everyone will be much happier. In addition, then, to once we're clear on the objectives, what is a format that will move us toward accomplishing that objective? And there's host of ways in which you can address a particular item. And it's good to let the item control the approach that you would take to reaching your objective. Some contrasting formats. You might, for example, consider whether you're going to use an open-ended question versus a proposal. You may come into the meeting and you may ask, okay, here's a problem. Anybody have an idea how to solve this? That's an open-ended approach. You might say, here's the problem. Now let me give you, here's one way we could solve it. Now react to the proposal. Do you like the proposal or do you suggest something different? There are times and places for both approaches. There's not one right way here. Are you going to have open discussion where you just say, okay, here's the issue. Now, who would like to speak next? Or are you going to go around the circle? You get quite different results depending on which format you use. And again, each one is valuable in its place. You're going to split the group into small groups for discussion times. Or are you going to get an entire group, the whole group, to weigh in simultaneously? So some examples of format questions that you can wrestle with. And then, once you have something about format, we also ask the question, what else needs to be prepared? So, for example, we may say, you know, it would be really helpful if before this meeting that's happening, if I would go and talk with so-and-so and so-and-so. That's the meeting before the meeting. If it may be that there are some people that need to be wrestling with the issue before you ever get into the meeting. And so we'll go ahead and have those meetings prior to the big meeting. Often, there's opportunities for collecting data. How many times have you been in meetings in where you're wrestling with an issue and someone says, well, but do we know this? And then you have to say, well, we'll table that and wait till the next meeting so somebody can gather the data. If you can envision what's needed in advance. If you're going to be planning schedules and calendars, make sure you have calendars available. And so on. Just maybe two examples here. You'll notice here would be an agenda item at the beginning of term schedule. These are actual agenda items from meetings there at Faith Builders. And you'll see the purpose of this, or the goal for this meeting of this item was to decide whether to keep, adjust, or change the beginning of the term schedule. We had put in a different beginning, and we wanted to talk as a staff about whether we were going to keep that same approach to starting the term. And so the format was to review the schedule. I was going to go over it with them, what we had done. Then I was going to just ask, open it up for feedback. And particularly, I was going to ask, what is the feedback that you've heard from students? I was going to also invite suggestions for improvement. And as I was listening, my job then, I decided it was going to be to summarize the dominant sense and then, if necessary, to actually vote whether we keep the current or the way we had opened the term or whether to go with something new. And what I needed to do to be ready for that item was to copy the schedule into the agenda so that the staff could see that schedule. And also, you'll see, I had a little meeting before the meeting. I wanted to let the deans know, since they have direct responsibility for students, I wanted them to know we were going to be discussing this at the meeting and where they could kind of be thinking about maybe even talking to some students to get feedback before that happened. Here's another one. Same meeting. Here, so we were talking about the beginning of the term. We were also going to be talking about the end of the term. This meeting was happening in between. And you'll notice we've given 25 minutes to this, because this was going to be an item where we needed to come generate some ideas and come to a conclusion. The goal was to decide what, if any, changes would be made to the end of term schedule. The format I decided was to review the schedule we'd been using the last number of years. So I described that. And I also explained the problems that I had been hearing with that end of term schedule. And then we split up into groups of two or three, and each group was supposed to brainstorm a better way to end that would address the problems that we were having. And then each group would report, and as we would hear the report, we would try to look for some kind of consensus developing, and then make a decision from there. And that worked very well. What found each, a couple of different groups had different solutions, and as they began to report, they started objecting to each other's solutions, but out of that, one emerged that really was a better way to end than what we currently had. And I think till we ended it, for the most part, there was just really good sense that we were on a right track. Questions or comments so far? Thank you.
You mentioned that open discussion more around the table.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that a bit?
An open discussion, of course, would be, let's say I laid out this issue, how should we end the term? What we could do is just say, does anybody have any ideas? And what happens in an open discussion like that, the people who think quickly on their feet and are fine talking, the ones that talk first, and they have the most influence in what happens in a group. Well, there's times for that. But there's also times just to say, you know, we're going to start right here with you. And we're going to go around and give everybody a chance to speak. I like doing both. One of the things I like about people just starting to talk on their own is you start getting much more crosstalk and the discussion among the group. And that's a really positive thing. Whereas if you go around, everybody has to wait their turn, which doesn't hurt us. But then you don't get that kind of interaction. You want to follow up? Okay. Well, the third question of the big three, what do the meeting attendees need to know beforehand? What do they need to know beforehand in order for the meeting to be effective? And so I want to just suggest a few things to consider sending to the meeting attendees. With email, some things like that, it's very easy just to get information out. One would be the meeting logistics. That is, where the meeting is going to be, when it's going to meet, and so on. So it's the when and the where and the who for the meeting would be good. That's one thing. It definitely should be out in advance. Secondly, if there's information that you really don't want to take the time to read during the meeting, get that out in advance and give instructions for that. The agenda itself may be something to send out before the meeting. But I put a question mark here because I don't know that it's always the best thing. There are times in which if you just put an item there without explanation, people can develop a lot of ideas about what's going to be discussed that you have to wind up correcting before you ever get to the real issue. And so, and sometimes you do want to have a chance to frame the issue. There's a judgment call as to whether when it's appropriate to actually send out agenda in advance. So the three questions, what's my overall plan? And the way we're answering that question is to write an agenda. That's what the overall plan is. It's a thorough, robust agenda. The second question is, what needs to happen before the meeting? And we're saying prepare for each agenda item. And then third, what do the meeting attendees need to know beforehand? And we're answering that by communicating our expectations. I've included a resource here for your consideration. But at this point, we'll just open it up if there are any questions. Yes, Brian. Excellent question. Somebody want to talk while I'm thinking? One of the things... Yeah. The maybe two things I would say. One, clearly there is an unhealthy kind of drama where you get into a meeting and people are just after each other. And one of the things that we're called to do is to help people learn to communicate and talk to each other in ways that move the ball forward, that are productive. That doesn't mean that they have to wind up always agreeing with each other. It's the question would be, how can we learn to talk through with disagreements in ways that are redemptive? So I think if we are clear in that goal, that can be helpful. Our goal is not to just get them to be quiet and never to voice disagreement. Meetings without good, healthy conflict are really not going to get us good places, take us good places. But then the other thing, Brian, I would mention here, I do think that this is where the meetings before the meetings can be helpful. And that is, you actually might even have to get a sense where some people are going to be coming out and help them think about how they're going to represent their positions on some of these things before you ever get there. So that's what I would offer here. I'd like to hear from you on the same question. Tim. I hate them. I just don't like conference calls. And so I try to avoid them at all cost. Key word there is cost. Okay. Since I avoid them, I don't have much to say. Who can help Tim out here? What is your question specifically? Whether these same kinds of things, you know, yeah, they are. And you can't do the open discussion in a conference call. You almost have to go around and have each person talk by themselves and so on. But yes, excellent. Thank you so much. Google Hangout. Okay. There's a second. Do we want to vote?
But I do recommend the physical contact. I mean, the real meeting over that. But if you have to overcome this.
There clearly are times in which that needs to happen, and you could probably argue in terms of resources that it should. But I argue for going ahead and spending the money to get together whenever possible. Okay? Who else? Yes. Yeah, that would be one place to go ahead and encourage that culture of conflict, drama, and where you invite it. Say, is anyone not on board here with this decision? And if you think people aren't, maybe go ahead and give everybody a chance to speak to it. And I think it's also appropriate, of course, if you're hearing that going on, to go and talk to that person and say, this is the kind of thing that needs to happen in the meeting. And if you're going to say that, it's okay to say it in the meeting. It's not okay to say it outside the meeting. You want to? Arthur. Next question.
I think what you brought out is that there's a lot of weight on the leader to prepare, and he goes and says, hey, you can say this. It seems like there is more of a leader's.
I'm remembering my American literature teacher in college. This was a secular school, and we'd come to class. She'd say, okay, open, we're going to discuss Goodman Brown today, Nathaniel Hawthorne. She'd turn to one student and say, so in the second paragraph when the teacher said this, what do you think the writer was trying to get at? And the student would say, I don't know. Teacher say, how do you expect to get anything out of this class if you don't read? Now go home, read the assignment, come back tomorrow and we'll discuss it. Now that kind of amused me because I was saying, you know, we're learning how to get out of class early. So yeah, you don't want to reinforce the wrong approach here. Time and patience would be worse, where you communicate expectations, but you don't, the guilt thing isn't generally helpful, you communicate your expectations, and with time, I think the culture does shift as you do that and as you model something different. If you're preparing, it begins to set something in the culture.
Steve, there you mentioned meeting before the meeting.
Yes.
Subcommittees can be very helpful on different...
That's right.
Subcommittee chairman brings it almost to motion.
And that's where sometimes in preparing a particular agenda item, you may decide that what you have to do to be ready for the meeting is to get two or three other people together in order to wrestle with that thing and come with a proposal, come with something specific to deal with, whether it's a subcommittee or whether it's an ad hoc committee that has just been pulled together for that particular item. We talked today a bit about format and the kind of format that you could use for a meeting, and I'd like to maybe end here today with just a fun little thing that you may want to use in your meetings to shake things up, particularly if you have, maybe it's some big project or proposal you're working on. It's called the Six Hats of DeBono. And I need six volunteers here. I know these are the type A personalities that always volunteer for this. So you're, okay, you see. Come here, get a hat, and there are some older ones that could volunteer. These are young brothers all coming, and thank you. Way to go. This is totally random. I'm not planning who gets which hat. Thank y'all for volunteering. Now, yeah, you may want to turn around for a bit and look up at the screen. What you can do with these six hats in your meeting is if you have a particular agenda item that you really want to work on, then you hand out these six hats. Works best if you have six people in the meeting. And these are the assignments they have. Now, I'm going to, let's say that in our ministry, some of the staff were complaining a little bit, and they said, you know, as a staff, all we do is work. We don't ever do anything really enjoyable together where we're forming relationships just among each other. So that's a problem. And we could have a much healthier organizational ministry culture if we actually did something informal, something fun together. So that's the item that comes to the meeting. And someone has proposed that a solution to this is to plan a one-day field trip for the staff. We're going to go to some historic site, or we're going to go where?
To go to reach.
Well, okay. Anyway, you're going to do some field trip together. Now, that's the proposal. What I want you to do is to react to that proposal, respond to that proposal according to these hats. And so the blue hat, he's the process leader. He will take charge here of this meeting in just a moment. And what he needs to do is to define again what I just got done saying. He needs to tell y'all what the problem is and what the proposed solution is. Okay? That's the blue hat's job. The red hat comes along, and then he's the emotive person. He just, whatever he feels is what he's supposed to say. That's all you're allowed to say if you have the red hat. The yellow hat is the one that is just very optimistic, very bubbly, the smiley face. And so I want you, that person needs to just give all the positive reasons why. Yes, 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 yes. The black is the opposite of that. Everything is dark and dismal, and no, this won't work. And so you give that side of things. The white tries to give facts that bear on the issue. The green gives alternative solutions. And then the blue summarizes everything they've heard. And finally, the red emotes again. Okay. And says how they feel about all this goings on. So we don't have a whole lot of time. If you would limit yourselves to about a minute each at most. So I'm going to step out of the way, and Benji, you're on. Now we use that exercise in a bit of a humorous context here, but I think you can maybe catch a little bit of an idea if you really do have a serious issue to address. This can generate some discussion, some interaction, perhaps in ways that people are not ordinarily used to, particularly if you're judicious in the way that you hand out the hats. And with that, we will close. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Yes. If you give me your email address, I'll be happy to. Actually, I have a single copy of that I can give you right now. If anybody, my email address is srb@fbep.org, and I'll be happy to send any of you a copy of that, or you can just Google DeBono Six Hats. You are dismissed.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders Educational Programs. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.